message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so we are going to conclude the series we began. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Victoria, so good to see you. Thank you. All right. Turn your Bible to the book of 1 Peter quickly. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1. We're going to bring into conclusion the series we began since the beginning of this month. This is part 4 of the doctrine and the practice of holiness. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15. Verse 16 rather. Can we all read 1 Peter 1 and verse 16? 3, 2, go. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Can we read in chorus, in unison as a church? 3, 2, go. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, I've told you that the king to Bible interpretation is what? Contextual reading. Okay, so let's go to verse 15 quickly. Verse 15. I want us to read verse 15. I want it to flow into verse 16. Verse 15. Let's do it together. 3, 2, go. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of what? Conversation. Now, I showed you last 2 weeks. I said the word is. But as he which has called you is holy, the word is not in the original text. Because is and holy that was there was given one word. And what is the word? Agios. Right? Agios means what? Holy. Set apart. So that is not there. Come on. Are you following me? Good. So now let's remove that is. This is Bible study. Let's remove that is. So we're going to read it without is. Are you there? Can we all read verse 15 together? 3, 2, go. But as he which has called you holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Does it take a new meaning? It says, but as he which has called you holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation here is from the Greek word anastrophe, which means what? Conduct, manner of life. So, listen, verse 15 says, but as he which had called you holy. So, there was first an understanding that you were called holy. He now says, for as he which has called you holy, he now says, so. That means, in consonance to that truth, be ye holy in all manner of conduct. So that means the injunction to live holy is an injunction that comes from the understanding of identity. So it first makes you holy, and then it tells you, now let that holiness filter into your conversation. King James uses the word conversation, but it is anastrophe, which means what? Conduct, your manner of life. So verse 16 now says, because it is written. So Apostle Peter now is giving a corroborative study by quoting Leviticus to you, that for as it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. So holiness is a fruit that we bear because we are holy. Open to 1 Peter, that same 1 Peter chapter 1. Go quickly to verse 2. You know, this will help you to understand what I just said now. Because right in the same chapter, in the second verse, he makes a powerful statement. He says, elect. Oh, hallelujah. He says, elect. Now, he says, you are elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, how were you elect? How did you become elect? How were you elected? He said, elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. How? Through the sanctification of the Spirit. Now, the word sanctification means holy, set apart, right? So that means you are elect. Through the foreknowledge of God the Father. How? Through the sanctification. That means you were set apart. By whom? The Holy Spirit. He says, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Can I have a big amen to that? So that means the indwelling Spirit set us apart. Right? Now go to 1 Corinthians quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 30. He says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, sanctification is there again now. So, but in this particular instance, it tells us that Christ is our sanctification. So, there seems to be like a tail and a head thing. In one place, it tells us, be holy. In one place, it tells us, Christ is our holiness. You know, I've told you, the word sanctification is also used interchangeably, same Greek word. So that means, Christ here is our sanctification. And anytime we talk about Christ, there is a specific knowledge about Christ. In the book of Luke 24 and verse 44, the Bible says, when Jesus was going to tell the people that were on their way to Emmaus, to reveal about his Christhood, what did he say? He says, oh, you fools of heart to believe all that the prophet had said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his rest? Then beginning from Moses, Psalms, you know, and the prophet, he began to want to expound unto them the things concerning himself. So in other words, when it comes to teaching about Christhood, there are specific, my greatest prayer is always that, oh God, as they look into the mirror of the world, they will not be forgetful hearers. They will lay to heart the image of themselves that have been shown them from the world. It's called the mirror principle. Praise the Lord. So you see, 1 Thessalonians 4, look at it. He says, oh, I like this. He says, for this is the will of God, even what? Your sanctification, your set apartness, that ye should do what? Abstain from fornication. For God has not, verse 7, can we all read verse 7 together? Verse 7 in unison. 3, 2, go. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Romans 6, quickly. Romans 6. Romans 6 and verse 19, it says, I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, as ye have yielded your members servant to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now. Now listen, Paul is saying, hey, you remember when you were in the world? You yielded your body to uncleanness, to unrighteousness. You remember when you were in the world? He says, even so now, do the same. But this time around, not to uncleanness. He says, even so now, as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Hallelujah. So you were free from sin, not to sin. Can you see that? You can either be a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness. So he says, you change lordship. At the time, sin was your Lord. He had dominion over you. Now, Christ is your Lord. He now says, hey, the same way you yielded your members to uncleanness, he says, now, yield your members to be instrument of righteousness. You know, I was talking to a woman. She's a pastor in Canada. She's my very good friend, older than me anyway. She's in her 50s. She and her husband spoke with me on phone. And they are associate pastor of the biggest church in Canada, Dr. Ralph Doughty. So that's their senior pastor. She is into counseling, correctional counseling. And then we got talking about how they do correctional counseling, you know, the same principle they apply in all this prison service and the rest of that. So what they do is this. How many of you are science students? There's something they called energy. Energy can never be created, not destroyed. You can only be what? Converted or transformed, you know. Just for example, now you can't destroy electric energy, but now it has been converted to light energy. Do you see that? So what happens is the same principle they use. If somebody is caught smoking hemp, you know, all the US guys, those Mupedos, you know, hey, boo boo, I'm a kiku, man. You know, those kind of guys you see in all this Hollywood. People like that, you know, with tattoos and chairs and stuff like that. When they catch them with drugs, they take them to a correctional facility. What they do is sometimes they just lock them up. If it is hemp, he's been taking all this while, they will lock them up in a room full of hemps and cocaine, let him smoke himself out. When he's done smoking, they will now drag him into another room full of, let's say, fruits and nuts, cashew nuts, and so on and so forth. They will lock him up there again for 3 days. So the same voraciousness that he uses in smoking hemp and taking cocaine, he will now use this, the same energy he will use in taking that fruit. So what they are doing is they are trying to direct his energy from negative use to positive use. So that is the principle behind correction. And let me tell you one thing. God is very smart. Do you know that was what God did to Saul? The guy was so zealous for the Jewish religion, going about to kill Christians. God says, yeah, that's a good guy to pick. God went after him. And guess what? So funny. God told Ananias, he says, that guy is my choice vessel. I have showed him things he will suffer for my sake. Hey! Did he suffer for his sake indeed? Boy, that guy wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Brian Hagin says he wrote 2/3. My goodness, that's 66.7%. He was not even among the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the same thing is saying here. He says, just the way you yielded your members, all right, to uncleanness when you were in the world. He says, now, he says, yield your members as instrument of righteousness. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but what? Holiness. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, quickly. 1 Peter 2. A very popular scripture you all know. You dance to it, you know, Saint Arch. We are a chosen generation, called for to show his excellence. Look at it. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation. He calls you holy. He now says, a peculiar people. Aha. Did you see semicolon there? He now says, that, so that, listen, that means all the goodness of grace comes with incentive or as an incentive. This is different from the Old Testament. Even up to Jesus' time, for example, when Jesus taught them to pray, he says, forgive us. All right? As we forgive those who forgive us, who sinned against us, right? But under the New Testament, what did the Bible say? Ephesians 4:32. Forgive as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Did you see the change there? Before it was what? It was tit for tit, tat for tat, right? In fact, it was love your neighbor as yourself. But in the epistle, what it is? What is it? As Christ loves you. That's much more, because I don't know, you may not love yourself sometimes. God doesn't trust your flesh. So he says, as Christ loves you. And how did Christ show his love? Mushi, mushi. He showed it on the cross. That means if it's required for you to die for your brother, do. Is that strong? So there is always an injunction that comes from the place of position. Look at it. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you have to show it. That's why he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I showed you the Greek context last week, right? What does it mean? It means if you don't walk in the light, if you don't walk holily, men will not see God. So it is when you walk in holiness and peace with all men, that is when men will see the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, open to 1 Peter 1 again. That's our anchor scripture, right? 1 Peter 1. Let's now read from verse 14. You know I've touched a good number of areas in this teaching, so I'm just going to reiterate something, because one of the things I've realized is the power to live holy comes in the deeper revelation of who you really are in Christ. So that's what we keep emphasizing. You keep emphasizing. Brother Crefodola, you know, Dr. Crefodola, when I was in the university, I listened to that guy. All people that started preaching like Crefodola when I was in university. He said, I was addicted to taking donuts. Some of you think it's not big deal now. It is. He even wrote a book about it. 8 Steps to Change Your Life. He says anytime he's driving to the office, he will pass that place so that he can get donut. He said, I keep confessing, hey, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am. Why? Because it's very simple. You know, Jesus said something. Jesus said, it is not what a man eats that defiles him. In fact, Jesus makes us to understand. He says, take no thought saying. Brother Copeland taught me that. He says, take no thought saying. In other words, the way you take thought, Matthew 6, 9:24. Jesus said, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? In other words, the way you take thought is by saying. That means your mind is at the mercy of what you say. Ever wondered why when, if you go to a barbering salon, for example, you are back from barbering salon, you are likely to, the first thing that is likely to come out of your mouth is the last music you heard. Have you ever noticed sometimes you are playing music, the music is off, but it's still playing in your head? Your mind is designed that way. To see, your mind must run like a software. Are you following what I'm saying? That's the way it is. So as you keep saying who you are reminded of who you are, and that empowers you to live out who you truly are. Praise the Lord. So the correction is not really from the outside in, it's from the inside out. So 1 Peter 1 verse 14 says, as obedient children, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. As obedient children, so he connects it to relationship. In other words, your father as well is holy. That's what he's saying. Then in verse 15, now says, but as he which has called you holy, be ye therefore holy. Can you see that? So, what I want to iterate today again and emphasize as a close to this series is this. You are holy. Say, I am holy. Say it again. I've given you examples of how even inanimate things were called holy in the Old Testament. The first time the word holy came out in scripture is in Exodus 3. And the thing that was referred to be holy had no intelligence of its own. I mean, this guy, on the same ground that he's been doing his pastoral nomadic herding all the while, on that same ground, I mean, he had an experience. He saw a bush burning, and the bush was not consumed. So he felt, wow, I must see this great sight. And you know, I love God. God knows how to catch your attention. He knows how to do it. You know, I used to have a friend in university that he got born again by chasing after a babe to our church. He followed the babe. He came to meet me in class. He says, Pastor, get one babe for your church. I like that babe. She invited me to come to your church. And guess what? I've been inviting him since our year 2. Year 3, year 4, final year, year 5, part 5. Now we're in 500 level. The pastor, I will come to your church next week. I say, I was already rejoicing. My prayers answered. Says, no, now sister XYZ. I say, oh, say, I like her. And you come to church. That day was the only one that gave, that received Christ into his heart. Praise the Lord. So God knows how to draw people's attention. So Moses was there just enjoying his nomadic herding. The guy was the eighth man. Then he saw bush burning. He says, guy, the Bible says, he said, I must see this great sight. And as he walked in there, God says, Kai,
put your shoes. For where you are standing is what? Holy.
Wow. So God calls the ground holy. Ground that has no intelligence of itself, that can't speak, that can't talk, he calls it holy. If he calls it holy, set apart. So that means holiness in that context is not intrinsic. Something made it holy. I said it means to set apart, right? I gave you an analogy. I remember when I was a kid, my mom goes to the market, buys a pack of cob, and calls all of us, the children, and says, hey, this is a pack of cob, glass cob. This particular one is for daddy. You touch it, oh, you get the beating of your life. And my mom is real, real good in beating. She doesn't use cane, doesn't use koboko. My dad used that. My mom knows how to use slippers, rubber slippers. That one, they will beat you at the back. Your hand can't touch your back like this. You see what I'm saying? But was anything intrinsic about that cup? No, don't forget, all the cups look alike. But from the day she says, this cup belongs to daddy, that cup is set apart. That cup is holy. It belongs to daddy alone. That means that cup is customized. But the customization is not intrinsic. Someone had to make it customized. Someone had to set it apart. In the same vein, that ground Moses came in was not holy in itself. Don't forget, Moses has been treading that same ground many years. So what it made it happen? What made it holy? The presence of God. God was there. In the same vein. Come on now. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says the same thing. Says he has washed, he has sanctified in the name of our Lord and by the Spirit of our God. So the Holy Ghost in you set you apart. You are set apart. You are holy. You are set apart. Why? By the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost. Someone said, you are not holy here. Well, the Holy Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit has chosen to live in me. Oh, glory to God. You see that? So I am holy. Now, it now comes with an injunction to live holily. That's it. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Praise the Lord. Are you there? If you are there, shout hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, it says, oh boy. Oh boy. I love this scripture. Look at it. Just look at it. If you didn't come with the Bible, which I feel so sorry for you, you are missing too much. Look at it. Let your eyes rest on that Bible, whether it is hard copy or soft copy. If you didn't come with anyone, share with somebody. Look at it. It says, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Brothers, let's close our Bible. Father, we have sinned. We will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, you have lied before. Oh, you stole from the pot. Go on your knees and cry for your sin. No, don't stop there. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you. Shout amen, somebody. And such were some of you, but you see, whenever you see but, is an interruption. You cut it. In other words, in contrast, imagine somebody comes to you and say, Pastor, yeah, tell me, this week in my business something happened. I made some deals, and I lost about 2.5 million naira. My eyes come out and it says, but towards the end of the week, I made 10 million naira. What makes the change now? But he says, look at it. No thieves, no covetous, no drunkards, no revilers, no extortioners, no inheriting the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were. You see, a lot of times the problem with people is they don't read. But such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And how? By the Spirit. So the spirit in you set you apart. Shout amen, somebody. See, let me just give you a very simple example of how holy is being used in scripture. It's nothing mystical. Let me give you an example. Apostle Paul, all right, in fact, the scripture is replete with instruction that we should be kissing ourselves, and he calls it holy kiss. Can I show you that? You really want to see it? Okay, let's do it. Romans 16. You know, I taught you before during Bible interpretation, I said, when something is repeated again and again, it's for emphasis purpose, right? Look at it. Romans 16, let me show you. Romans 16. I just want to reiterate the fact that holy means set apart. Set apart. You see that? Look at it. Romans 16 verse 16. Apostle Paul told the church in Rome. He says, salute one another with what? 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Are you there? And verse 20. Can we hold it together? Verse 20. 3, 2, go. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with what? Don't forget, holy. Can you see holy there? 1 Thessalonians, quickly. 1 Thessalonians. Are you there? 1 what? Thessalonians 5. Right? Did I say 1 Thessalonians 5? Can we all read verse 26 together? 3, 2, go. Greet all the brethren with what? Now, you might feel like it's only Paul that is talking this kiss thing. Apostle Peter too said the same thing. The Jewish preacher himself, Uncle Peter, he said the same thing. Open to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. You know, Uncle Peter's own was even more dramatic. You see how he put it. Look at it. 1 Peter 5 and verse 14. He says, greet ye one another with what? With a kiss of love. Oh. Hallelujah. Don't forget that was how Judas betrayed Jesus, right? With a kiss. Why? Because, you know, I taught you in hermeneutics, the science of Bible interpretation, I said, that's why you can't really take everything in scripture as, you know, on face value because of cultural context. Right? So, kiss here, number one, is a cultural way in which Jewish people, you know, express pleasantry to someone that is dear to them. Alright? It's like, come. In fact, the word kiss here, most times doesn't really mean mouth to mouth. They just do like this sometimes. Oh, some of you that you see Telemundo now. Most of you see Telemundo. The way they do is, oh, champana, cha cha, ching ching yon yon, ching yon, chon chon chon, yon chon chon. You see? In fact, sometimes it's a kiss on the hand. They just take the hand and kiss. By the way, in France, they greet with kissing. And in fact, there's a kind of kiss called French kiss. So, let me tell you. Now, why did he not have to use holy with kissing? Give yourself holy kiss. It's simple. The word kiss there is philema. And philio means love. So, what he's saying is, greet yourself affectionately. That's all. So, he now says that kind of greeting is set apart. Why? It's happening between brethren. Don't forget, I've shown you before. I said something between us that ties us together is thicker than blood. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Say, this one is my blood, though. Blood is thicker than water. No. In Christ, what is between you is more than what is between you and your blood brother. Except and only that your blood brother to be saved. Yes, sir. Come on now. Yes, sir. You know, Jesus was preaching one day, then somebody stood up and said, Kai, blessed is the womb that bore you. And the paps which you suck. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, yeah,
But blessed, more blessed are these ones who hear the word and do it.
So Jesus makes us to see that the relationship between him and those who were listening to him supersedes that which he had. I mean, at the time he was preaching, they came to him and said, your father, your mother, and your sisters are seeking you. What did he say? He says, who are my brothers? Who are my mother? Who are my sisters? Except these ones that are with me. Don't you understand? The Bible says that we were born. Do you know the meaning of brethren? Do you know the meaning of brethren? The Greek word, it means from the same womb. And what is the womb? The death! Something identifies us together with Christ. The death. I have died before. That's why I will not die again. We came together from the same womb. When he rose up, Romans 6:3-4, Colossians 2:12-13, when he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. When he was raised up, that's why he says a corn of wheat, except it dies, it abides alone. But when it rises up, it brings up harvest of many fruits. So we died together, we rose up together. That's why you've been to hell, so you don't go to hell anymore. So anything that happens between us, all right, is holy. You see why you can't walk in hatredness or hatred or in hate, as the case may be? You see why you have to walk in love? Why? Because we are holy, set apart. That's why Apostle Paul was angry with the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, you guys are taking yourself to court. What's wrong with you? Can't you judge in simple matters? How dare you have issues among each other, then you now go to court, an unbeliever, to settle your case. In verse 2, he says, don't you know that you will judge the world? Even though he says, don't you know you will judge angels? How come you can't judge little matter? Listen, the more you know who you really are, all right, the more you will live holily. In fact, let me tell you, when you are conscious of who we are in Christ, what binds us together in Christianity, what God went through to make us who we are, and what is between you and the next person sitting with you in church, you will live more holily, all right, unconsciously than deliberately. For example, I make my boast in the Lord. I can't remember the last time I told a lie. I can't. But the scripture says, lie not one to another. Why? Saying that you have put off the old man and his deeds. So lying is one of the deeds of the old man. So it's not part of me. Hallelujah. So what makes something holy, all right? I mean, what is special about kissing that he's talking about here? Nothing. Everybody kisses, but he says holy kiss. Why? Because it involves two holy people. Brethren. Thank you, sir. Brethren. That brethren factor. By the way, on Sunday, I'll be doing a teaching on Philadelphia. Don't miss it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the concept of holiness, all right, and let me close with this. This actually even summarizes the entire messages, in quotes, of Paul in all of his epistles. I've told you this when we began. I said, you know, when I studied the writings of Paul, there is a consistent pattern. I can summarize all his epistles for you just in two patterns, in a breath. Start from Romans. Romans 1-8, nothing was said about what to do. It was all about what Christ has done for us. Chapter 9 to chapter 11 was in parentheses. I don't talk about that. Now one speaks about the present time and that of Israel. So the first partition of all the writings of Paul is always divided into two. Of every letter he writes, he will first speak about who we are, what we have, and what Christ has done for us. Then the later part will tell us what is expected of us. I give you an example. Romans. 1 to 8 is all about what Christ has done. Then chapter 12, when the next part began, it says, therefore, I beseech you, therefore. That means, having understood what has been done to you from chapter 1, chapter 8, 9 and 11, 9 to 11 is in parentheses, is a teaching on its own. It now says, I beseech you, therefore, you should present your body as a holy sacrifice. Can you see that? To the church in Colossae, the same thing. Chapter 1 and 2 talks about all that Christ has done for you, who you are in Christ, where he has brought you, how that you have been identified with him, you know, in the heavenly place, where he has brought you now. Then chapter 3, he now says, I therefore, seeing therefore now that you are what? You are seated with him, you are there in heaven. He now said, well, seek those things which are in heaven. Verse 2 now says, set your affection on things that are above. Because he has told you that you are above as well. From chapter 1 to 2. Are you following? The same thing with Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Oh, revelation. Chapter 2. Even tells you in chapter 2 verse 1. It says, and you are the quickened, who was once dead in sins and trespasses. Verse 4 says, well, God will reach in mercy as what? Has quickened you together. Then verse 6 says, now you are seated with him in the heavenly place. Chapter 3, he tells you, in fact, if you read what he's writing from verse 2 to 5, he says, if you have heard of my conversation, how that, you know, it is given to me a balanced revelation that when you read, you understand my mystery. Alright? Then he now says, after saying all those beautiful things, then in chapter 4, did he say, I therefore, can you see the conjunct? As a prisoner of Christ, beseech you, dash, 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 dash. Can you see? He says to walk, alright, in the manner of vocation whereby he has been called. So it's always like that. It's not the other way around. We are not living holy, all right, so that we can be made holy. It's the other way around. It is like this. We'll be made holy, so now we are now giving the injunction to live holy. In fact, it's a proof of a regenerated heart. Don't forget the prophecy of Ezekiel. It says, I will sprinkle clean water, new holy water on you. I will take that stony heart and I will replace it with the heart of flesh. Heart of flesh, figurative expression, talking about the tender heart. Then, verse 27, he says, I will take that stony heart and I will put my spirit within you. And you, he now says in verse, oh boy, 28, and I will cause you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. That means, listen, I will not give you new regulations. I will give you the regulator. So why then the Old Testament will be giving laws? Laws. Say, I will give you the regulator inside of you. I will cause you to walk. That's the same thing Apostle Paul is saying in Philippians 2 and verse 12. He says, walk out your salvation with godly reference. Walk it out. He didn't say you should go and walk for salvation. Not walk for. Walk it out. Verse 13 now tells you how. He says, why? For God is at work in you, both to will and to do. Wrong expression by King James. Original translation says, for God is at work in you, giving you the willingness and the enablement to please him. So that means, like Pastor Chris calls it, it is called the force. No, Brad Copeland. He calls it the force of righteousness. So you are going like this, you just know. Like this, just make a U-turn. It's a force inside. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So God knows that I'm not going to try to solve the issue. Look how that's very unique about God. When he wants to solve the issue of sin, he doesn't bring new law. What did he do? He recreated man. He changed the engine. He didn't try to paint. That's why the new creation is not a facelifted, it's not a refurbished being. It's a regenerated being. A new engine was put in you, and that new engine is bound to live holily. That's why a Christian will never enjoy sin. It's not his nature. It's like a goat trying to bark. It's like a dog trying to bleat. It doesn't work. That's why he gives us the injunction to live holy, because he knows we can do it. He knows. He knows what he has put in you. He knows. I will cause you to walk in my statue. So when people ask me and say, man, this Christian journey, it's rough and rugged. I say, yeah. I accept it's a rough and rugged journey, but it depends on the car you are in. I mean, if you are on Toyota Micra, the road can be rough and rugged. But when you are in Toyota Tundra, I'm not going to Toyota Tundra, those big tires, you won't even know. The first time I rode inside that big pickup, you know, it was on ridges. I didn't even know we were on ridge. I'm not even know what I'm talking about. So it depends on the theology that you are moving with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Thank you, Father. I have a message for someone here. You struggling with an addiction of some kind. The Lord says to tell you, quit struggling. Rest. Hallelujah. Say after me, I am holy. Say it again. Say it again. So let's now read that same anchor scripture again and then we close. First Peter 1 and verse 14. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Did you see that? Let me help you. Look up, everybody. Look up. Look up. If you have problem with the 400 years old archaic English of King James, it's not compulsory. You know, a lot of people think that that's thou wentest, shouldest die makes the Bible holy. No. If you have issues with that language, go and get NIV. You hear what I said? There's nothing spiritual about King James English. Do you get what I said? So if you have issues with all these that wentest, just get a simpler English. Can I be honest with you? If you pay attention to reading, all right, if you just do a simple reading of God's word, you have less issues. If you had a C in your English language, C, just C, it will reduce almost 30% of your problems. I'm serious. If you can only identify past tense, from present tense to continuous tense, that simple thing. If you have learned comprehension, simple comprehension, that means, you know what comprehension is? They give you a body of material to read, and they're now asking you questions. They did not expect you to import any knowledge outside the body of that knowledge. They want you to answer the question within the context of what is giving you. If you can apply those two things you've learned in your English language that you did in secondary school, you'll be a good Christian. I'm telling you, you'll be a good Christian. I mean, for example, how do you explain scriptures like 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, you know, when you begin to read, it says, for we thus judge that if one died, then all be dead. Very logic thing. Simple. Just calm down. Simple. You understand it. We thus judge that if one died for all, then all be dead. It now says in verse 15, therefore, those that now live should no longer live for themselves, but unto them who died for them in the first place. Is that simple enough? Then he now says, now, for we have known Christ after the flesh. The one who died for all, we know him after the flesh. Now, henceforth, know we him no more after the flesh. Therefore, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation, is a new creature. All things have passed away, all things have become new. Very simple. What he's saying is, listen, if you agreed one person died for all, then all were dead. So he uses, in four verses there, it teaches you what Christ has done and how you should conduct your life. He says, Christ, when Christ died, you died with him. Now he's risen, you are risen with him. He now tells you. He now says, that knowledge from verse 14 should produce in you a sold out life. Knowing that indeed it was death that was due you, someone took for you. Now that you live, you have to live for the one. Put on that mascara. 1 hour, but just 15 minutes to pace up in the morning. Pace your floor in the morning. 15 minutes. No. thank God there's no shortcut for spiritual growth. It will show. Thank God again that heaven, all right, is not by work. Some of you, right now, if trumpet should sound, pom, 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 you are gone. Air fire street. But thank God. And what's the spiritual growth? See, I don't like to make things complex. Alright? Simplicity. What is spiritual growth? Working miracles? No. Am I against working miracles? Ah, yeah, yeah. I love it. I mean, I believe in miracles. But babies can work miracles. I mean, in fact, I started working miracles just a day after I got born again. Do you know what I'm saying? Babies can work miracles. See, have you seen Christians who know so much? They'll be giving you the Greek, the everything, but see them outside, they are the one fighting. They are the one causing trouble in the bus. Have you seen Christians like that? Come on, talk to me. They know, you hear things like, filio, philanthropio. You think they are speaking Spanish. It's the Greek. They know all the Greek. He has sozoos. We have soteria. Hey. Askabaya. You almost feel inferior when they are talking. On the examination day, they'll be doing saying, number two, number two, number two. What is the problem? That knowledge has not been converted. See, that is what spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth is when the truth you have learned, all right, filter into your conduct. That's spiritual growth. Go to all this Anglican church, all this our parents' church, all our mommies and daddies. You will see them washing, scrubbing the restroom. Very gentle, meekness. They exhibit so much of the fruit of the recreated human spirit. Some Bible says the fruit of the Holy Spirit is wrong. It is the fruit of the Spirit, and that Spirit is you. Love, joy, peace, kindness. I mean meekness. This is who you are. You see some Christians, they will fight dirty. I caught one guy went to preach on evangelism, and he threw boxing with the person he came to preach. Let it filter into every crevice of your life. Honor, respect, gentleness, meekness. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, goodness, kindness. Let it filter into you. Let them know this is a Christian. Don't forget, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness. He says, follow peace. That and there is what kai, which means that is. That's a Greek word, right? Follow peace with all men. That is. He says, that is your holiness. That's your set apartness. He says, without this, no man shall see the Lord. In other words, if you don't walk in peace with all men, which is the real holiness, he says, men won't see the Lord. The only way men can see the Lord is in your conduct. They don't know your spirit. No, we know man after the flesh. They can't judge. Can they see the life of God in you physically from there? Do they have? The Bible says the natural man cannot receive the things of God, neither can he know them. For they are spiritually discerned. Neither can they. It says they are foolishness unto them. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. So the only way they can see God is in your conduct. So he now says, walk holy. Otherwise, no man will see the Lord. That's the way they will know. Come on, talk to me. Haven't you seen Muslims or unbelievers who say, "Kai guess can one just can she Christian? But taba gun she the matter about guess can but then they give her. Kai what lie about the wahala? That's the only way. Listen, when the Christians, the people that were called Christians in Antioch, how do they call them Christians? Unbelievers. They saw them acting like Christ. That's all. That also even tells you that the word Christian is not even who we are. Because the people who gave that name, they gave that name from the natural standpoint. We're not Christ-like, like followers of Christ. No. No. I'm going to say then, who are we, Pastor? Calm down. We are new creation. But the world will not know. The only way they can know is by what? by our fruits. By their fruits you will know them. So it is by their fruits. But here's the point I want to make. In your aspiration to live holily, let it come from an healthy place of that, listen, you are already holy. You are not aspiring to be holy. Is that clear? See, that will rid you of, you know, trying and trying and trying. It will also rid you of the temptation of mind game. You know mind game? That the devil plays with people? You don't know. Let me give you an example. For example, you can even be here right now. And then as I'm preaching, something will be telling you, look at his big head. And then right there, you just caught yourself. You say, hey, the man of God, that just said that man of God has big head. Yay. Then you start thinking, Kai, when did that become this bad? Let me tell you, his thoughts, his mind game. Satan just told you, look at his big head, then step back. Now you think it's your thought. It's not your thought. Then he steps back and come back. When he now started getting into despondency, self-pity, he now says, you see, you now be knocking your head, you see. You, are, you call yourself a Christian. How can you be calling a preacher inside church? Inside church, you are saying he has a big head. Huh? It's called mind game. It's not your thoughts. You didn't get it. So, one of the things that rid you of all those things, are you feeling what I'm saying? Is from the understanding of who you really are. So you catch yourself with the wrong thought, you laugh. That's not me. Glory to God. I couldn't have thought that way. Can you see that? So you let your holy nature filter into your daily life. Into your daily life. Into your daily life. Into your daily life. And let me say this. It will require consecration sometimes. I told you an example. Last year, I was in a keke. I don't know what a woman did to me. I don't know what happened. I just shouted on. I mean, I just screamed. How? Why do you do this? When I was done and she left, I felt like, oh my God, did I just shout? Ah, I need a retreat. I'm saying, ah, Pastor, you're acting like you're under the law, you're under grace. Listen, there is something called consecration. Say consecration. Say it louder.
Consecration.
Ah. There's a consecration of a preacher. Pastor Hayes, am I correct? You, when it is time to, you fast, you pray. And Jesus has fasted for us. No, he fasted for his own ministry. And he finished it in 3.5 years. I mean, the whole thing we call salvation today, 3.5 years. What? Fast. Badura. That's consecration. So, but do you know why it becomes a... See, let me see. Write this down. See. Maturity begins when you be, when there is a shift. Alright? When your perception... There's a shift in your perception of spiritual duty to delight. That means... What you see as duty in God's kingdom now becomes a delight. Did you get what I just said? It's just perspective. That's what helps you. That this thing I am doing, I'm not doing it so that I'll be accepted in the beloved. I am already accepted in the beloved. I'm already holy. I'm already set apart. I'm doing this because this is the fruit I ought to bear. I am not trying. Have you ever seen mango tree trying to say, okay, I must bear fruit of mango so that people will know I am mango? He's already a mango tree. So bearing mango as a fruit is what is expected of him. Are you following what I'm saying? So if you see yourself bearing fruit that is not consistent with your nature, reject it, refute it. Superimpose who you are upon what you are doing or what you are being that is contrary to what you know you ought to be. That's all. And that's what church is all about. Mind renewal. And it's continuous. We are telling you who you are consistently. 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 So that it will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. This is the doctrine. What is the doctrine? The doctrine is Doctrine simply means teaching, a manner of teaching, a style of teaching. It simply means, in holiness context now, the doctrine is, hey, you are made holy. Now, how do I practice it? It's simple. I practice it from the understanding that I am not trying to be holy. I am already holy, acting holily. Is that clear? Did it bless somebody? Come on, talk. Did it bless somebody? Did it bless somebody? Rise on your feet, everybody. Lift your hands and just appreciate Him who has made you holy. Thank Him for the strength and the ability to walk holily. Thank Him for the ability to walk in the vocation whereby He has called you. Father, we thank You. Awesome God, how great are You. Oh, thank You. Lift your hands towards heaven. Come on.
You are God. Oh, mighty God.
Oh, good.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 0785 66. We celebrate you.